Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What do you think about a person who kept calling the same wrong number again and again and again? Maybe been on the receiving end of perhaps two or three in a row of wrong number calls. But if those wrong numbers persisted, or if you saw someone repeatedly making those wrong number calls, you would think that there was something wrong with them in the head. But even though that would seem crazy to us, what may also seem crazy is that our God wants us not to dial him with the wrong number, but to intentionally dial him up, call him up again and again and again, to a degree that we might think would be wearying and bothersome to him, but he asks us to do so. He invites us to do so. He wants us to pray to him persistently. We're supposed to stand on his doorstep like beggars, holding out our hands courageously, begging from him boldly. But who is able to do such a thing? Where is the pauper, the poor man, who can be bold with the prince? Where is the beggar who can dare to pester the benefactor? Look into the mirror, Jesus says in our reading. For you are the pauper, the spiritual poor person to whom such boldness has been given. You are the beggar to whom such courage has been granted. You have been given these blessings, the courage and boldness from God himself, at whose door you stand and knock, from the Lord on whose porch you beg for blessings. Seven chapters after the words of our sermon text in Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells a parable about an unjust judge, someone whose heart was as hard as rock. He isn't moved by God. He isn't bullied by men. He isn't moved to love by the Lord who is loving. He isn't moved to pity by people who are pitiable. If he knows what is right, he refuses to pursue it. If he knows what is wrong, he refuses to erase that wrong. He has never budged for a single beggar. He has never bled for a single victim. He isn't one who is likely to speak soothing words to you at difficult times. He isn't one who is likely to shed sympathetic tears for you. No, he is downright cold-hearted. He's downright cruel, stiff, stubborn. From that kind of man, a helpless widow must beg, in the story Jesus tells. But here in Luke chapter 11, it is you and I who are begging. On behalf of another friend, you are pleading in this parable. You're pleading with another person who is your friend. Not with a ruler, but with a friend. Not with a commander or a king, but with a companion and a comrade. Not with a sovereign on a mighty throne, but with a neighbor right next door. He resembles you. He gets tired just as you do. He loves his children just as you do. He tenderly tucks them into their beds when night comes, just like you do. He gets very upset at times, just as you do. He doesn't like to crawl out of his bed at midnight when his doorbell rings, just as you don't. He doesn't like to have to hunt for his key to unlock his door when his eyes are half shut with sleep and when his body is already asleep, just as you don't. He's about as much like you as he could possibly be. But he is still your friend. And he is also your potential benefactor, someone who could do you the favor that you need at that time. He He has something that you don't have, 3 loaves of bread for the hungry visitor who has arrived at your doorstep in the middle of the night and who is hungry and in need of sustenance from you. In the other parable, Jesus tells us that helpless widow must plead her cause before the bench of a cold-hearted, unjust judge. You can plead your cause at the window of a friendly neighbor. Who of you having a neighbor like that would be reluctant to ask for that favor? That's the question that Jesus asks in our reading. Suddenly, as you weigh that question, the neighbor in the parable becomes God. He isn't a judge who lives on a hill in a house with a fence around it. No, because of Jesus Christ, your Savior, your brother, he isn't your enemy. In Christ Jesus, he has become your friend. And he isn't unfair. He is a God of truth. Without iniquity, just and right is he. He isn't hard and cold and unsympathetic. No, in Christ Jesus, he was touched with the feeling of your weakness. He, Jesus, your Savior, your substitute, was tempted in every way just as you are. Yet he was without sin. He surpasses your earthly neighbor. He has children too, multitudes of heavenly hosts, angels and archangels, but they aren't tucked away sleeping in their beds. No, instead they are awaiting any order that he might give them to carry out on your behalf for your good. And God himself hasn't gone to bed and fallen asleep. No, as the psalm says, he who watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He who watches over you doesn't need any sleep. He never gets tired. 24 hours a day, around the clock, his divine eyes are on you. His divine arms are around you. His divine hands reach out toward you, and his divine heart of love beats for you. He doesn't mind when his doorbell rings, even if it's at the middle of the night. Ask, he says, and my hand will dole out to you. Knock, and my door will be open to you. Cry out to me at midnight. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer you. More than a friend or a neighbor, he is your father. And in fact, he is also, in a way, your tenant. Because instead of living next door to you, he actually lives within you. What a benefactor he is. Not only does he have 3 small loaves of bread to give to you, no, but he has in his son 33 years of perfect obedience to all of God's commands, which he credits to your account in his sight, declaring you righteous and holy for Jesus' sake. Not only does he have loaves of bread that he is ready to share with you, but through his son, he has a beautiful atoning death that he is willing to bequeath to you. In his son, because of Jesus, he has risen, not from a bed and sleep, but from a grave, so that he might supply all of your needs, so that he can provide for everything that you need for body and life, so that he can help you to help others, so that he can hear your petitions and answer your prayers. He will never say, I cannot, because with him, all things are always possible. He never says, don't bother me, it's too late at night, because before his throne, nobody can ask too much. Nor is God bad or unjust. As Jesus says in our reading, if an earthly father, hearing the cry of his son for bread, cannot give him a stone, he is not so cold-hearted, then, if a human father, hearing the cry of his child for fish, for food, I'm hungry, give me something good to eat, simply could not give him a scorpion, something that would sting and harm and poison, God certainly also will not give us, his children, something that would do harm to us physically or spiritually, even if we unintentionally or perhaps even intentionally ask for it. Could God give his people things that would wreck their faith and destroy their souls, even if we foolishly ask for them? No. Instead of giving us anything hurtful, he will give us his Holy Spirit. What a gracious God we have. And how comforting it is to know that before such a God, we can stand even in our most embarrassing moments. With such a gracious God, we can plead even in our most distressing dilemmas. To such a gracious God, we can cry in our most critical circumstances. We can beg and never be driven off because he is annoyed with us. We can intercede on behalf of others and never be shooed away by him. Bold beggars we can be at the door of our Heavenly Father. Because the promise of eternal life in heaven through Jesus our Savior makes us bold, fills us with confidence, because it shows us what a merciful and loving God we have. Some of us are in difficult circumstances in life. Some of us are weary travelers wandering through life, perhaps aimlessly at times. Some of us are hungry pilgrims. Some of us are embarrassed hosts who have had friends show up and we have nothing to offer to them. Some of us are bankrupt friends. Some of us are out in the cold at midnight. Most of us are just common people. But all of us, without exception, are sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, brothers and sisters of Jesus, our Savior, children dearly loved by our God and Father. Subjects of the King of Kings who rules over all for our good. Yes, we are indeed common people. But the woman who does the begging in Luke chapter 11 is only a common woman. The man who does the begging in Luke chapter 18 is only a common man. You don't have to be a king like Solomon to have your pleas heard by God. You don't have to be a queen like Esther to have your petitions considered by God. You don't have to be a high priest like Aaron to have your prayers signed by you and by Jesus Christ come on the desk of your Heavenly Father. You don't have to be a VIP to have your voice heard in heaven. Common folk, surprise, you aren't common people in God's eyes. Jesus has made you kings and queens and priests before his God and Father. He has called you royal. He has called you holy and righteous. He has called you special. And so royalty knocks on God's door even at midnight. Dignitaries stand in God's courtyard and plead for bread before God's windows. God will recognize those whom he has declared to be royalty in his eyes. God will never dismiss such dignitaries that he has appointed before him. We can be bold beggars because we are beautiful and important people to our Heavenly Father. Jesus, our Savior, has made us so. Consider the weight of the petitions, the prayers that you and I offer to God. The greatness of the things for which you and I beg of our Heavenly Father. The cry of distress at the sleeping neighbor's door asks for nothing but some food to provide for a friend. Some anonymous friend had unexpectedly come and the night was very dark and the person who was asking for help, his pantry was so very empty. Will the sleeping neighbor please jump up to his rescue, crawl out of bed, and lend him those three small loaves of bread? Those loaves of bread will be repaid when the sun comes up after the baker's shop opens. But unlike that requester in Jesus' parable, you and I comparatively beg for mountain peaks and not merely for little pebbles like loaves of bread. And it isn't some shirt-tail friend from the other side of the hill who engages your attention, but precious and priceless souls, your own included, that are red with the blood of Jesus our Savior, that are white in his righteousness. They are stumbling through a world that is darker than the darkest midnight, that is shrouded and surrounded by sin and darkened by suffering and shadowed by death, and your hands are empty. I have nothing, you must admit, nothing with which to meet or to solve your problem. You can only rely on God. You can only bank on God's mercy. And you can't even offer to pay him back. Instead of asking for a loan that you promise to pay back later, you must simply plead for an outright gift from God. But you aren't deterred, because for such an outright plea, you must plead before your merciful Heavenly Father's throne. For such a gift that you ask for is fantastically staggering. You aren't coming with a little basket into which God is to place three loaves of bread for you. No, you're coming with a trailer truck into which you're asking God to pack gigantic blessings for you and those on whose behalf you are praying for. For every one of your sins, you want stacks and heaps of God's forgiving grace. For every one of your sufferings, you want tons of his divine assistance and the pledge of his abiding presence with you. For the day of your dying, you want truckloads of his consolation. You want his consideration in the hour of judgment. You want the guidance of your good shepherd through the valley of the shadow of death. You want his angelic escort into paradise. You want a life that will last forever and ever. How could the ear of God be deaf to these kinds of petitions, so great and so weighty? And you don't only pray for yourself, get me out of this embarrassing situation that I find myself in. And you don't even only pray for a friend, lend me three loaves of bread so that my friend has something to eat. No, you pray for everyone everywhere. You pray, give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Deliver us from evil. You come with others on your heart, with the whole world in your loving arms, with the whole church in your trembling hands. And you even place your enemies on your prayer list to God for his blessing. How can God's eyes ever close when such masses of people in great need are spread before him daily by the prayers of his faithful people? You even plead with God, for blessings for him. You want his name to be hallowed. You want his good reputation to be kept intact, even when his enemies and frustrations in the world around make you wonder sometimes, perhaps, about his goodness. You want his kingdom to come. You want the peace which his kingdom offers, the love that his kingdom produces, the assistance that his kingdom pledges, the protection that his kingdom provides, the Christ that his kingdom coronates, the hope that his kingdom instills, and the life that his kingdom enjoys, to stake a claim in your heart and in your life right now. You want his will to be done. Since his way is always the best way, you want him to have his way. His will be done. Since his will is so good and gracious, you want him to carry it out. Even as he has royalty and kingship and authority and power, so you also want him to have praise and glory. You want him to be magnified, his name to be praised forever. Bold beggars, you can dare to be. Because coming before the king, bringing large petitions with you, you can be confident because he promises to hear and answer your pleas and your prayers. And keep in mind that it is the king's son himself, commissioned by his father, who suggests these great petitions that you bring before God. How can he ignore them when he himself asks you to offer them in prayer? Our Father. That's a cry that we can utter with all boldness and confidence because of his promise. What a father he is because of Jesus Christ, his Son. And what petitioners, what beggars we are because of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. What prayers we can bring because of Jesus Christ, our brother. What confidence we can have because of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.